Thank you very much, Oliver, and thank you also for the invitation to speak to today's session on the Reserve Bank Strategic Review of Innovation in the Payment System. The conclusions paper for the Reserve Bank Strategic Review of Innovation was released in June this year at the end of a two-year review process. There has been a fair bit of activity since then, and we can look forward to several years of reform in the Australian payment system as the industry responds to the strategic objectives that were announced in the review. So today I'm going to briefly go over the main points in the conclusions paper and then describe some recent developments following its release. The strategic review was announced by the Payment System Board in May 2010. The aim was to identify areas in which innovation in the Australian payment system might be improved through more effective cooperation between stakeholders and regulators. The review took a medium-term perspective, looking at trends and developments in overseas payment systems and at possible gaps in the Australian payment system. The bank consulted very widely during the review, including with some of you in this room, and we're very appreciative of the input that we received. The decision to undertake the review did not reflect a view that there'd been no innovation in the payment system in Australia. We all know that's the case. There's clearly no shortage of customer-facing innovation. Oliver's talked about some of this already. But what the bank was concerned about was the type of innovation that requires cooperation between industry players, something that can be difficult to achieve. And I think he touched on this also when he talked about the banks and the telcos. When we're talking about this cooperative or collaborative space, we're largely talking about the central infrastructure for the payment system. This includes both the physical infrastructure and the rules that govern the interactions between organisations. But reaching agreement on innovation in this area can sometimes be very difficult for a number of reasons, including the fact that financial institutions have different business mixes and different investment cycles, which gives them different incentives. So what the Payment System Board has done in the review is to try to find ways to help the industry to achieve cooperative outcomes, both more easily and in ways that are in the public interest. The board has decided to periodically set out some strategic objectives that would like the industry to be able to meet by a given time. The board sees its role as setting out the ultimate goals, not dictating the precise way that the industry will achieve the solutions. This approach was something that was suggested by the consultations that took place during the review. A number of parties suggested it would be beneficial to have some sort of a roadmap set out to give different players more of a common direction and to give greater certainty for industry planning. And the expectation is that the board will revisit the strategic objectives and undertake a similar consultative process about every 3 years. So what were the initial strategic objectives set out by the board? We've got a list of five here. That all direct entry payments should be settled on the day that payment instructions are exchanged by the end of 2013. Second, that there should be the capacity for businesses and consumers to make payments in real time with close to immediate funds availability to the recipient by the end of 2016. Third, there should be the ability to make and receive low-value payments outside normal banking hours by the end of 2016. This includes direct entry, the new real-time system, and card settlements. Fourth, businesses and consumers should have the capacity to send more complete remittance information with payments by the end of 2016. Now, the most obvious problem in this area is that a message in the direct entry system currently allows a maximum of 18 characters of information. And it would obviously be very useful for businesses in particular to be able to send more information with their payments. And the final one is a system for more easily addressing retail payments to any recipient, and that should be available. The target here is by the end of 2017 if it occurs through the real-time system. But maybe it'll be possible to implement it earlier. And here the idea is that people should not have to know BSB and account numbers to make a payment, that we instead should be able to send a payment to someone using a phone number, an email address, or the like. While the board said that it intended to let the industry determine the precise approach to meeting the strategic objectives, it indicated that it saw clear merit in using hub-based architecture providing real-time payments. This reflected that the fact that a hub, where all participants have a single connection to the centre, will generally be much more efficient than a system that has bilateral connections between every set of participants. The review indicated also that a real-time settlements hub would be provided by the Reserve Bank. The board asked the industry to respond on its views on these strategic objectives by the end of August. The other key conclusion from the strategic review concerns industry coordination and governance. In particular, the board is looking to improve governance arrangements for the payments industry, including via a more direct dialogue between the board and the industry on innovation and other matters. With this in mind, the board indicated that it would like to see the establishment of an enhanced, higher-level industry body with which it could engage more directly. So that was the that's an overview of the innovation review. But the period since the release of the conclusions of the review has seen a fair bit of activity. While industry stakeholders have been working on their responses to the bank, the bank has been working on a number of key areas, including the following. It's established an internal project team to coordinate the move towards a fast payment system for Australia, that is a real-time retail payment solution, as contemplated in the strategic review. It's had discussions with the industry on the move to same-day settlement of all direct entry exchanges by the end of 2013. And it's had discussions with the industry on new industry coordination arrangements, including the creation of a new high-level, we'll call it Payments Council. So in the remainder of my talk today, I'd like to give an outline of some of the developments in these three areas. The most complex challenge arising from the strategic objectives in the conclusions paper is the implementation of a real-time retail payment system. The primary objective here is to establish new core infrastructure that will allow businesses and consumers to transfer funds between any accounts with immediate funds availability by the end of 2016. In the conclusions paper, the board asked for submissions from industry participants by end August as to how real-time payments could be best delivered in Australia. To date, the bank has received 30 submissions, which explicitly address real-time payments and related topics. 14 of these were made with the intention that they would be made public, while 16 were made as confidential to the bank. I'll obviously not reveal any specifics from that latter group, but I can make some high-level comments about the submissions as a group. And in addition, I should note that the fast payments objective is something we've discussed in some of the consultation meetings that we've been having on industry governance. So we can make a few broad observations regarding the submissions and the discussions that we've been having on real-time payments. First, there has been strong support for the board's objectives for real-time payments. The timetable, the centralised hub architecture, the inclusion of more remittance information, and an addressing solution. More specifically, most respondents have agreed with the need for a fast payments initiative with immediate funds availability to recipients on a 24/7 basis and real-time settlement of each payment. A significant majority of responses have been in favour of a centralised hub architecture on the grounds that this is likely to offer the most efficient solution. As regards the timetable, the end 2016 timetable, most have suggested that it's challenging but achievable. Although I would note that some submissions have suggested that end 2016 was actually too conservative. There's also been broad support for the proposal to provide for more remittance information to accompany payments, probably based on the ISO 20022 standard, with a number of submissions describing this as essential. However, some have expressed concern regarding the ability of all institutions to readily implement richer remittance information into their legacy applications, and have suggested a more phased implementation of that aspect. There's also been broad support for the proposal for improvements to the addressing of payments, with some suggesting that that should be part of the initial implementation. However, there have been varying views, not surprisingly, about the commercial or the utility nature of the payments hub. The submissions and discussions that we've had suggest that the greatest challenge for fast payments may be in reaching agreement on details such as the appropriate model for funding and pricing. And I'll touch on this a little bit later. Most submissions that we received prefer an industry project, with the majority of those that have discussed governance also supporting RBA involvement to a greater or lesser extent. Not surprisingly, many of the smaller industry participants have indicated a preference for strong RBA involvement in, or even leadership of the project, to ensure that it stays on track and meets the public interest considerations of the board's objectives. Some of the larger institutions have also been supportive of very significant RBA involvement in the project. APCA, the Australian Payments Clearing Association, for which Brad is Director of Policy, has made a submission to the bank on behalf of its members and has also been working together to gather support for what it calls an industry-preferred project approach on the strategic objectives. APCA has established a real-time payments committee comprising of representatives from the four major banks and three other banks, as well as the CEO of APCA. The proposal is that that committee would have an independent chair. Now, separate to the submissions process, the bank has established a project team to work towards the fast payment solution. Its role will be to coordinate with the industry throughout the project to ensure that the goals of the PSB continue to be met, and also to begin preparations towards the settlements hub that the bank has committed to provide. The bank's project team initially comprises five staff members, drawn from both the operational and the policy areas, and the team will evolve as required, depending on the nature of the bank's involvement with the project. Our internal aim for the project is the SPRINT project, which is an acronym for Send, Pay and Receive in No Time. The conclusions paper indicated that the board was hoping to establish a clear path forward on the delivery of real-time payments by late 2012. Accordingly, we're going to be working with APCA's Real-Time Payments Committee and also with industry stakeholders to discuss some key decisions that need to be made, hopefully by the end of 2012. Our expectation is these decisions will include at least seven elements that I've got outlined here. First, finalising the high-level project scope and objectives. Second, determining the components of the project solution that are likely to be collaborative as opposed to competitive. Third, determining the appropriate governance arrangements for the project and all the related project streams. Four, determining the appropriate arrangements for engaging with stakeholders. Five, determining the process for the selection of an appropriate solution, for example, a tender. Six, developing a model for funding the initial project and the ongoing operation of the hub, including funding of future enhancements. And finally, determining the operating model for the payments hub and any collaborative components. This will include the ownership and governance structure, the basic pricing principles, and the principles surrounding access. Any proposed industry project approach and solution will need to be assessed by the bank and subsequently approved by the Payment System Board. The assessment will be undertaken against a set of core criteria that the bank is currently developing, covering the board's objectives. I expect the board will look particularly closely at the proposed ownership, governance and pricing arrangements to ensure that they are consistent with both the operational and the public policy objectives. It'll obviously be important that the system is not implemented and operated in a way that promotes the interests of any group of participants ahead of other parties. The nature of the pricing model and access policies will be very important in this regard. And I should note that the bank remains of the view that the new core infrastructure should be operated as a utility. I can also update you briefly on one of the other strategic objectives identified in the conclusions paper. In particular, the board called for same-day settlement of direct entry payments with a preliminary target date of end 2013. Now, the DE system is the key system for most business and many household payments, both bulk payments and one-off payments. Now, an APCA working group has been considering issues to do with settlement of direct entry payments. Now, the APCA board had previously agreed to settle the first three of the five daily file exchanges on a same-day basis by March 2014. But it has now directed this working group to shift its focus to achieving same-day settlement of all five exchanges. At the same time, the Reserve Bank's domestic markets and payment settlements departments are consulting directly with industry participants, as well as through AFMA, that's the Australian Financial Markets Association, on how interbank liquidity needs can be met. I can't yet give any specifics. The bank will ensure that a system is in place where institutions will have sufficient liquidity to support efficient settlement outside of normal banking hours, and that includes the last two DE exchanges at 6:30 and at 8:45 p.m. The bank has also had some discussions on the proposed strategic objective on the availability of the DE system on weekends. A number of parties have questioned whether the cost associated with upgrading legacy systems is warranted, especially given that the real-time payments initiative will subsequently help fill the gap with respect to weekends. So this will be one of the issues discussed when the board reviews industry responses on the strategic objectives and the timetable that was outlined in the conclusions paper. The final topic that I want to cover is industry governance. As I indicated earlier, the Payment System Board is intending to be more proactive in setting objectives for the payment system. Accordingly, the board considers that there needs to be more direct dialogue between it and the industry on these objectives and other high-level strategic issues that may arise. The board believes that some reform of industry governance is required to achieve that dialogue. It would like to see an industry coordination body constituted that is able to take a strategic perspective on behalf of the industry, while also giving due weight to public interest considerations. The bank envisages this could involve the establishment of a body which is being referred to by most as a payments council, which would probably meet 2 to 4 times a year. It would bring together more senior industry representatives than is generally the case for the existing payments industry coordination arrangements. The intention is that it would achieve buy-in from key stakeholders on important issues and would engage directly with the board on strategic objectives and other matters. APCA has been very receptive of the proposal for a new council. It's written to the bank indicating its support and that it would like to initiate work to form such a body. At the same time, the bank has been separately undertaking its own series of meetings with key stakeholders to discuss both the appropriate form of a new body and payment system governance issues more generally. This is part of the process that ensuring that any new industry arrangements are suitable for supporting the proposed ongoing dialogue with the Payment System Board. We've spoken with a very wide range of stakeholders over the past month to get their views on a range of difficult questions, such as the following. Who would be represented and how? For example, how should end users and the broader public interest be taken account of in a body that consists mostly of those involved in the payment system? Exactly what issues could the council deal with? And in what way or what capacity would the council deal with these issues? For example, would it be an advisory body or have a more formal voting structure? We're yet to form a final view as to how the bank should proceed on these questions and the establishment of a new industry coordination body. We'll most likely have discussions with APCA to share insights from our respective consultations. My sense is that it's worth taking the time to get things right on such an important issue. So it's unlikely that a group will be in place to help in the early stages of the current fast payments project. However, we would expect it to be in place for subsequent stages of the project, and certainly also when the board next looks to set high-level strategic objectives for the payment system. So that's a quick summary of some of the activity that's been occurring over the 3 months since the release of the conclusions of the bank's strategic review. Overall, I'd say developments have been fairly encouraging. Industry participants have been keen to work with the bank towards an enhanced high-level industry governance body. In addition, the submissions to the bank on the strategic goals identified by the bank were very supportive. There clearly is a lot of work ahead of us, especially regarding real-time payments, but it does appear that there may be a number of private sector solutions to fill some of the gaps that the board identified in the conclusions paper. So the bank is looking forward to exploring the question, exploring the options with industry participants. Thank you.
So, Tony, we might start off with you. Any surprises from the industry's response, or is there anything that you weren't expecting or that is of interest?
As I said, I think we've been encouraged by the responses. The bank spent a lot of time talking to industry. We had a lot of consultations, so we thought we were reaching a position that would be welcome to many in the industry, and that's generally been the reception. That you know, there have been a few people that have said, "Oh, you know, is there really a demand for real-time payments?" Well, you know, I think if there isn't one now, there will be one by 2016, and we better get moving now if we want to have it,
sure.
Have it going in a few years' time. So I don't think there have been too many surprises.
Peter Kavanagh from Heritage Bank. Where there's innovation, quite often regulators trail a little behind. I'm just wondering what involvement have ASIC and APRA and ACCC had in what's happening here?
We have regular discussions with those organisations when particular relevant issues come up. I'm not hearing anything, any of the issues that are arising in, for example, the real-time payments area that would raise any red flags for me with respect to ACCC, APRA or ASIC. But we'll certainly consult with those organisations when and if those issues do arise.
In terms of the objectives, are you optimistic that they'll be met? What are the big sort of stumbling blocks at the moment that are causing potential issues in terms of timelines?
As I said, the industry has largely said these are reasonably ambitious. Most of the industry said these are reasonably ambitious but achievable timelines, and I think that's our view. We thought a lot about what sort of a timetable we should set out, what sort of steps had to be achieved, and so far I'd say we're on track. And as I said, some people are saying that the timetables could have been more ambitious. Maybe Brad would like to comment.
Sure. Thanks, Tony. I think the real challenging time, I mean, the next couple of years is going to be full on. The next 3 to 4 months is going to be very critical, I think, from an industry perspective in terms of the real-time payments committee. Again, I think there's a lot of connecting of the dots and filling out of the detail from what comes out of the conclusions paper in terms of the industry preferred approach, and then what is going to be the process after that. And again, ensuring something which is robust, something which is transparent, and trying to get to decision points along the way where we can ensure commitment and go forward and things actually get done. So I think the next few months is going to be really critical, and I think once we get to early 2013, when, as we propose, the Real-Time Payments Committee is able to make public its preferred approach and to try to get some feedback from stakeholders and industry about that, then I think that's, in a sense, where the rubber hits the road. Strap yourselves in. It's going to be an interesting couple of years.
Hi, Spanish Solutions at DNet. I have two questions. First one is, when exactly was the project sprint team established? And can you give me some specifics on what they're working on right now? Second question is, you said you're looking at private sector solutions for facilitating the real-time payment system. Which exact solutions are you looking at?
Our sprint team, we started thinking about, soon after putting the conclusions paper out, we started thinking about what we need to do internally to prepare for the 4 or 5 years of intense activity that that Brad talked about. So we've had that that team in place for between 1 and 2 months, I'd say. And what it's doing now is looking at the looking at all the decisions that are going to have to be made in the near future, particularly the decisions to make sure that we've got a clear path forward by the end of the year. Thinking about how one would go about deciding if an industry solution was appropriate and was and met the Payment System Board's objectives. And in terms of the final part of your question was, could I talk about the particular solutions that have been proposed, the particular projects that have been proposed? No, I can't do that at the moment. They're still emerging, and it wouldn't be appropriate to comment on particular ones.
I can mention there's one in the public domain. You probably have seen some of the media, First Data, VocaLink, Accenture teaming agreement. They've made an announcement. I'm in no way endorsing, disendorsing that proposal, but that is out in the public domain. So I'm sure there's a number of other potential providers who similarly will be maybe coming forward in the coming months as well. So it's, again, that's obviously something that down the road industry is going to have to make some decisions about. But, I mean, there's that proposal out in the, or at least the mention of that teaming agreement out in the public domain.
Thank you.
Harold Dimple from MHITS. Dr. Richards, this question might be a bit premature, but has there been any information or thoughts in regard to the real-time payment system as to how it will be accessed? And namely, whether it will be accessible by non-banks or what sort of participants. And I'm thinking here of value-added service providers in particular that really are sort of at the forefront of a lot of the innovative payment services we see around. Do you see that these sorts of players will potentially have access, or will it still be a bank-only sort of hub arrangement?
I think it's too early to speak about the operating model. What we do intend is that the hub should be a vehicle for competition, and so that it should stimulate sort of customer facing innovation. But there's a lot of issues about access, pricing, etc., to be knotted out over the next 4 to 6 months.
Okay.